This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. I, like many of you, perhaps, I'm going to swing by the grocery store on the way home tonight to pick up something for dinner. Unbeknownst to many consumers, though, is that there's a whole thing going on behind the stocking of those shelves. Fees companies pay to get their bag of potato chips at eye level as opposed to down on the bottom rack somewhere. Slotting fees, they're called. Phil Edwards wrote about the pay-to-play economics of grocery shelf space for Vox. Phil, it's good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
All right. I realize I am hearkening back to an economy that doesn't exist anymore, but whatever happened to stores just putting stuff on shelves and me buying it? I mean, where did these fees come from?
Yeah, so it's an interesting story that these slotting fees haven't always been around. They really grew in the 1980s, and that's one of the arguments that defenders of slotting fees use. They say that in the 1980s, the number of products that manufacturers made were growing almost exponentially. And as a result, retailers needed a way to kind of cull through that increased number of products.
And you get it, right? Because shelf space is finite. And if you've got a whole bunch of new, potato chips, you got to figure out how to put something where.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems that these slotting fees increase in accordance with the scarcity of the space. So you're going to be paying more if you're trying to get into the ice cream aisle where they have to actually plug freezers in and they can only build so many. Or it can be a fee that manufacturers pay to continue to keep their product on the shelf.
And it's not like a buck and a half, right? I mean, they're pretty steep.
It's pretty significant. One example of a typical slotting fee might be $30,000 to get your product in 350 freezer doors. But some of the best spots often go to manufacturers that buy up a lot of space. So even if you're willing to pay to get into the store, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to have that primo spot to sell your goods.
I imagine this this is kind of an abstract thought, but it changes how we eat, right? Because if my ice cream is at eye level in the freezer section, somebody's more likely to buy my ice cream than you know, the stuff down at the bottom in the back.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And that's one of the arguments that critics of slotting fees have against it. So, for example, the Center for Science and the Public Interest issued a report, and their take-home point was basically that manufacturers of junk food were more likely to be able to afford these slotting fees. And as a result, you were pushed to buy Fritos instead of apples or candy bars instead of bananas. So it definitely affects how you eat, not only in the brands that you have, but possibly in the type of food that you're likely to see.
When you walk into your local grocery store now, do you look at it differently? Because I'm gonna.
Oh, I definitely look at it differently. I mean, I am a candy connoisseur. I want all the different varieties of candy. I want candy innovation in this country. And I think that slotting fees are limiting it in some cases. There's not as much variety in candy as I would love to have.
Phil Edwards is a video producer at Vox. His piece is called The Hidden War Over Grocery Shelf Space. Phil, thanks very much.
Thank you.